Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the main subject of this entire chapter is the kind of life that follows from justification by faith. The kind of life that follows. You and I have sat at the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. We confess that He is our Savior. That the blood of atonement that was shed was for our sins. He purchased us. He made us His own. He feeds us with Himself. And the question now must come in an applicatory sermon. So what then? How shall we live? What kind of a life of service must we render? What kind of a life follows? Verses 1 and 2. Shall we abide in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! God forbid abiding in sin as an impossibility. Why does the Christian say this? Because we are dead to sin. A person who is dead to sin does not say, well, let's live in sin. How are we dead to sin? And God's Word comes, as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. We were buried with Christ. Is that your experience, O child of God? Is that true of you? Baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into His death. We died to sin. Our theme this evening is baptized into Jesus Christ. Notice with me, first of all, the meaning. Notice, second of all, how it takes place. And then notice, thirdly, its purpose. Baptized into Jesus Christ. The meaning. And that little phrase that stands before us, baptized into Christ, means this, that we are united with Christ. That is the doctrine that is explained and expounded here in detail. That doctrine is the most glorious aspect of the gospel truth. That doctrine is one of the most profound. That doctrine is one of the most stimulating. That doctrine is one of the most comforting. We might even say exhilarating. We are united to Christ Jesus. And if that truth is grasped and understood, nothing will give us greater assurance, greater comfort, and greater hope in our union with Christ. Unfortunately, many do not grasp this truth. What is the meaning of the baptism spoken of in our text? Union with Jesus Christ. We are incorporated into Christ. We are joined to Christ. We are glued to Christ. We are planted in Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by, or we might say, for in one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That theme of that great chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is the church as the body of Jesus Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. We are joined to Him, and then we are joined to one another. But how are we joined? And the answer is, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Jesus Christ. It is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a mystical action of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, verse 5, we read, we are planted together. The idea there being, we are grafted into a plant. Planted together. We stand as one. There's identification. The graft becomes part of that tree. We derive all the benefits from the vine of which we are branches. Because we are united with Christ, our final salvation is guaranteed. For everything that happened to Christ happens to us. We are united to Christ. That's the theme of this chapter, union with Christ. You'll notice there that the apostle begins this verse, verse 3, with the words, know ye not? He's saying, don't you know? Haven't you realized? In other words, the Apostle Paul here is assuming that this is common knowledge amongst believers. He says, in effect, do I have to tell you? Almost apologizing for reminding them. This is common knowledge, this doctrine of our union with Christ, our oneness with Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul had never been to Rome yet. He had not taught those persons personally. And yet he says, but of course you know this. Don't you know? Don't you realize? Don't you remember? In our salvation, we are not merely forgiven. We're not merely justified. But the doctrine of salvation includes the basic truth that we who were once in Adam, identified with Adam, are now in Christ Jesus. We were taken out of the one position and put into another position. We are baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And we are baptized into His church. What does it mean to be baptized into Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul follows that in this verse and in the following verse by saying it means that we were baptized into His death. As we were one with Adam, we sinned in Adam. Romans 5, verse 12, the Apostle Paul had already pointed out, as by one man sin entereth the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now our Lord Jesus Christ died. And all true believers died with Christ because we are joined with Him. We were baptized into Him and therefore baptized into His death. And the Apostle Paul goes one step further. He says, we have not only died with Christ, we have been buried with Him. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Buried with Christ. What does that mean? Burial is an absolute end. There is no return. A month ago, I stood at the graveside, conducted a burial. When a person dies, it's not the end yet. There is still family, there is still friends, there are tears, and there's a sermon. But when that person is let down into the grave, and when the coffin is covered up with earth, And that person is gone. That is the end of his earthly life. That's the end of his earthly relationships and his earthly responsibilities. That is the end to which each one of us is hastening. Christ was buried. That was the end of Christ's earthly sojournings among us. For 33 years, Christ had earthly relationships and earthly responsibilities. And if we sum up the 33 years of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, what was the significance of His life? And His life could be summed up in two words: for sin. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. For sin. In those words is the significance of Christ's burial. For sin, He came into this world. For sin, He suffered all of His life and on the cross. For sin, He died. For sin, He descended down into hell. That was the significance of the life of Christ. For sin. Not His own sin. But 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, He was made sin for us. Jesus Christ came to this world for the special purpose of taking all the sins of His people, His elect people, upon Himself and removing them. And then we read, and He was buried. What does that mean? That means sin no longer had any claim upon Him. The relation between Him and sin was gone. He died for, and He died unto sin, so that it was gone. And in Christ Jesus, every last connection with sin is gone. The man of sin is gone. No more dominion. Our burial with Christ means that there is a judicial, there is a legal relation between Christ and us. Because of our legal corporation into Christ, at the moment that Christ was buried, the church was buried with Christ, and we are justified. Not only are we justified, but the dominion of sin is removed. We are done with sin. There's no more dominion. Our text is all about justification and freedom. Freedom from the bondage, the dominion of sin, set free. That, O child of God, is salvation. Set free not only from the guilt of sin by God's righteous decree, but set free from the dominion, the bondage of sin. No longer slaves of Satan. Set free. We're done with sin. We are made righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of our passage. Baptized into Christ means that we are baptized into His death, buried with Christ. He is done with sin. We are done with sin, buried with Him. Now, how does that take place? Baptized into Christ. The sacramentalists, the Roman Catholics, love to take a passage such as this to try to prove that there is grace in the sacrament itself, or grace in the water, or the holy water, as they call it. That the very sprinkling of that holy water upon a child sets them free from sin and incorporates them into Christ. Oh, the power that it gives into the hands of the church and of her priests. They can baptize at will and they can forgive sin. And so the whole business of being baptized into Christ is the church's ability or the church's work. Others, combating sacramentalism, says that here baptism refers to our baptismal vows. We make vows. We declare our faith. We pledge ourselves to a new life. And it is that work of man that now places us into the sphere of Christ. Man is accountable. Man is able to be baptized into Christ. We make a vow. Still others say that baptism puts us into the sphere of the church's influence. That water baptism puts us in a better position than others in the world. A good sphere of the church and moral upbringing, the church's influence. Still others, holding a liberal modernistic view, say that baptism is nothing more than our making some statement that we believe in Christ, that we are identifying ourselves with Christ. Let me say at the outset that our passage this evening is not speaking about water baptism. Our passage is not speaking about water baptism, regardless of what all these others might say. Water baptism is a sign and a seal of what we read about here. It is a sign and a seal of what God in His grace does to us and for us. It is a sign of the washing away of our sins. Water baptism is a sign of our union with Christ Jesus. It is a sign of regeneration. It is a seal. It is a guarantee of God's promises. As surely as water washes away dirt on the outside of the body, so the blood and the Spirit of Jesus Christ wash away all the filth of our hearts and our lives. Even as Israel was baptized unto Moses in the crossing of the Red Sea, so also we are united with Jesus Christ, brought from death into life. Yes, water baptism is a sign and a seal of the reality that is spoken of in our chapter. What is this baptism into Christ Jesus, our union with Christ Jesus? How does it take place? It is the work of the sovereign God. The sovereign God who has chosen us in eternity and given us to Jesus Christ by His Spirit and by His Word. He unites us with Christ and all of His benefits so that we are buried with Christ into His death and raised with Christ in newness of life. It is a baptism of the Spirit. How does it take place? The Spirit unites us to Christ Jesus. It's this wonderful, mystical work of the Spirit, that Spirit that you cannot see, But you surely can see what the Spirit does, just like the wind outside. Coming with the fires to purify, blowing whithersoever we will, breaks down hard hearts and enthrones the Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our regeneration. We are given the life of Christ Jesus. We are baptized into Christ, the head, and baptized into the church, His body. We're made one with Him, incorporated, planted into Christ, engrafted into Christ, that we draw all our substance, our life from Him. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who by His Spirit reaches down from heaven into your heart and never lets go of you. Regeneration. Regardless of age, whether a newborn infant like Brennan or an aged person like the thief on the cross in the last hours of his life, Christ comes by His Spirit and takes over. Grabs our hearts, plants new life within, so that we are incorporated into Christ. We say with the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Partakers of His death, partakers of His life. Baptized into Christ, that spiritual reality, united to Christ, how does it take place? It is a matter of faith. Christ implants the seed of faith in the heart of the Christian. And by that faith, we take hold of Christ and we take hold of all that Christ has done. And holding on to Christ, we say, I have died with Christ. I've been buried with Christ by baptism into death. Now, not Christ's death, but our own death. We have died. Christ's death is our death. His death was the death of sin. We now baptize into the death, die to sin. We die to the realm. We die to the reign. We die to the sphere. We die to the power of sin. By faith. Say, Pastor, I look, I do an examination of myself. Yes, we were just called to do that as a congregation, weren't we, before we came to the Lord's table? And when we do that personal examination, hopefully not just four times a year when we come to the Lord's table, but hopefully every week, every day, we see an awful lot of sin and ugliness in our life, don't we? How is it possible to say that we have died to sin, has no more dominion over us? The answer is by faith. By faith we look to the Christ. We look to the grave of Christ. And the relationship between Christ and sin was severed. It was done. And we were buried with Christ. Though our consciences accuse us daily that we have grossly sinned against God and all His commandments, yet the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts us. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, righteous as if we had never sinned. And that same Spirit leads us to God's Word, says, sin has no more dominion over it. You're not slaves. Don't come with your excuses and say, well, I'm only human. I can't help it. Nonsense! You've died to sin. How can we any longer live therein? baptized into Christ, it's a matter of faith. By faith we lay hold of the benefits of Christ's death, forgiveness of sins. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, all of them were nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. By faith, we lay hold to that forgiveness. We lay hold to the righteousness that is made ours, declared ours, righteous before God. It is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and the hope of everlasting life. A matter of faith. And yes, O child of God, that fills our hearts and our lives with joy, the joy that we just sang about in the last song that we sang. I'm a child of the King. I belong to God. He has taken me out of the realm of Adam and of sin and of death, and He has placed me in the realm of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, the joy of salvation. Does it radiate in your heart, in your breast, and in your life? Does it show in your face? Or do we sometimes run through life with this long puss of a face, and others look at us and say, who wants to be a Christian? Pilgrims and strangers in this world, we're not alone. We belong to Christ Jesus. Not servants of sin, but servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy. It gives your and my life purpose. As the Catechism says, we're not our own. We belong, body and soul, life and death, to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. That fact a reality in your life? Is that what you say? As we read it in Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know ye not, says Paul, don't you know it? Don't you remember it? Don't you stand upon that truth and find assurance and comfort in that truth? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, O child of God, that means all true believers, all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, not just some Christians and not others, not just select believers, no. Every individual believer baptized into Jesus Christ, buried with Christ, done with sin, baptized into Jesus Christ. Notice with me, thirdly, then, its purpose. Verse 4. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Only by being dead to sin can we walk in newness of life. We do always walk as pilgrims and strangers. We always walk in this world. We walk before and we walk after we're buried with Christ, but there's a difference. Before baptism, before our union with Christ, We walked in oldness. We walked in death. We walked under the dominion of sin. We were slaves to sin. We had a walk that found its source in death. No child of God, after being baptized into Jesus Christ, and you'll remember that that's the prayer that was uttered just before the sacrament of baptism was administered this evening. A beautiful prayer. We prayed that this little child would be regenerated, united with Christ Jesus. When God answers that prayer, God who works that union of us with Christ, then the oldness of death is gone. That person who was under the dominion of sin is done, is gone. And now we walk another walk. Now we live another life. What's the difference of our walk and our life? We walk with a walk that has its source in newness of life. Our text says that Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father means there the glorious power of God the Father. The infinite majesty of God the Father. A glory that was never exhibited alike as in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1 verse 19. He says, Oh, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Oh, that you may know that experientially, that same glorious power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that you may know that personally in your heart and life. That power of us, of Him to usward. Glorious power of God was displayed in creation, wasn't it? When He spoke a word and things instantly came into being, let there be light, and there was light. What glorious power. What glorious power of God when He spoke after closing up the ark and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and no one could stop it. And He saved His church by water. What glorious power of God was displayed when God redeemed His people from Egypt and the slavery in Egypt through the plagues and the walking through the Red Sea. But all that glorious power pales in comparison to the glorious power of God when Jesus was raised from the dead. I want you to ask me, what was that glory? Why is that so much far more glorious than these other miracles? A new Christ was raised. Not the old Christ who came for sin, who was under sin, who came in humiliation. But the risen Christ. Right, the Christ of glory. And we are raised with that Christ. And out of that resurrection with Jesus comes then this newness of life. We are raised with Christ so that we may walk in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been baptized with Jesus Christ for the purpose that we might be made new creatures. Creatures who live and walk in obedience to God and walk in sanctification. Sanctification follows justification. No longer under the dominion of sin. Shall we live in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not our dominion. That's not our sphere any longer. We've died to sin. We're done with sin. New creatures, that we might walk in newness of life. Raised with Christ, O child of God, you ate. Christ fed you at His table today. His blood was shed for a complete remission of all our sins. He was buried. You were buried. Done with sin. He was raised. We are raised with Him. How shall we then live? Go forth. Go forth in the newness of this week. Go forth in the newness of the life of Christ Jesus. Obedience, sanctification, a life pleasing to your Master. Walking in newness of life. That's the consciousness. That's our self-identification. That's who we are. By grace. Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quickened together with Christ. Colossians 3 verse 1, if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things above. Set your affections on things above. O child of God, by the grace of God, by the power of God, the glorious power of God the Father. Walk in newness of life. What a testimony. What a witness to those who see us. Baptized into Christ. New creatures. Walk in that newness. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the glorious reality revealed to us in Thy Word, a reality that we have known, a reality that has been preached to us, a reality that we experience, we see in our lives. Oh, Father, help us to be conscious of that every day. Who are we? Not of the world. We are Christ. We are Christ's body. Help us, O Lord, then to walk carefully as pilgrims and strangers in this world in obedience and in sanctification for the glory of our great God who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Lord, give us Thy grace that we may conduct ourselves as children of God. Amen.